This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good morning, and thanks for joining us as we roll along this morning, and a good Wednesday to you. And thoughts are with the people of Florida as Hurricane Ian is sort of bearing down on them, and it will be arriving on landfall today as it will sweep through the peninsula of Florida. I tell you, they've got a bunch of games that are scheduled this weekend that may be on the move. The Tampa Bay-Kansas City game could be going to a neutral site. Florida has moved its game in Gainesville to Sunday. They've also got Florida State is going to be at home this weekend. They look like they're holding on to Saturday as it may not be coming to them. And they just may get some wet weather. The Buccaneers have already moved their facility, the mobile facility, if you will, to Miami. That's where they'll work out this week in preparation for the Kansas City Chiefs game. But nevertheless, keeping it off sports for a second, I hope people got out, and I hope hurricanes are no joke. It's not just the hurricane. It's not just the winds and whatnot and what's happened in the aftermath, the power losses, the flooding of streets, all of those kind of things. So keeping out that state in our thoughts as we continue this morning. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys at 2-1. We're going to talk about some other teams at 2-1. Yep, if you're unbeaten right now, and if you are the Philadelphia Eagles or if you're the Miami Dolphins, life is pretty good. If you're 1-2, life is not terrible, of course. And if you're 0-3, and there's only one team that is 0-3, and that is the Las Vegas Raiders, your plans for January probably are going to be golfing and kind of hanging out with family. But you never know in this league. This is the additional of the playoff wild card team could make this still a little interesting. You never know. You could go on a 7-game win streak like the Dolphins last year and find yourself right back in the thick of things. But if you're 2-1, you're actually in really, really good shape. But who is better than others? We'll talk about that coming up this hour. We'll also get into baseball as the New York Yankees have clinched the AL East. Just a matter of time for that, and they finally did it last night. But 5 at-bats for Aaron Judge, 4 walks. It appears nobody wants to be the person that gives up the 61st home run. 4 walks, and they didn't give him anything to chase at. We'll talk about that as well as we roll along on a Wednesday. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. Coming up next, we'll get into the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys, are they in good shape as Cooper Rush has given them back-to-back wins with Dak's return on the horizon? All right, we'll continue to roll along. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Good morning as we roll along on a Wednesday. And again, we get that midweek version of the, hey, what did we see in the NFL and what are we going to see coming up this weekend? So we'll get to kind of a combination of that. College football as well, as we got a number of unbeaten teams still in college football. Oh, it was close. That Clemson-Wake Forest game was really fun. I guess I'll give Kansas credit. I wasn't big on the whole Kansas Duke thing, by the way. I didn't think game day should have gone there. I wasn't all in on Kansas. But you know what? They're 4-0. I was surprised they weren't ranked. Because, 4-0 is 4-0. And, they've got an offense that is really, really fun. Defensively, the Jayhawks aren't all that great. But, hey, 4-0, I thought they'd get a few votes, enough to just crack into the top 25. But they haven't yet. And if they win again, they likely will. But I don't know. I like good stories like Kansas that pop up every now and then. Kansas has been a doormat forever. They had a 1 year, I think, Sports Illustrated had them in, had an article about them. They had a quarterback that was really good, and they played pretty well, and they kind of had an anomaly of a year. But other than that, I don't remember much about Kansas football in my life being very good. And now they're off to a 4-0 start, but they did not get ranked. All right, so we'll talk about that as well. But again, a couple of news and notes, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, about Hurricane Ian. It is coming in on Florida, is keeping it in the sports world. Florida and Eastern Washington has moved their game to Sunday afternoon. That's going to be a noon kickoff in Gainesville. Florida State holding on to their game in Tallahassee. The Buccaneers in Kansas City, one of the more anticipated games of week number 4, that is going to be Sunday night. It could be moved. There was a talk about possibly moving it to the Midwest, Not at Arrowhead Stadium. They won't do that. But another stadium somewhere in the country or playing it. I don't know if you would. Hard Rock Stadium has been is available, but again, I don't know if I don't know where this hurricane is heading. It's looked like it's going to hit Fort Myers and then move up. I don't think South Florida, Miami area is going to be affected by it. But nevertheless, the Midwest just seems to be a ploy. I'm not a weather guy. I know there are people who love to watch the Weather Channel and stuff like that. I like it when what's that guy's name that's always in the hurricane? Jim Cantore? Is that the guy? You always find him, like if he's in your town, evacuate.
Yes, pretty much.
Is that basically the thing? Because that's what he does.
If he's in your town, you may not have a town much longer.
You may not have a town much longer.
Take photos.
If he shows up, yeah. But I watch the video. I mean, my in-laws live in St. Pete, so we were, concerned about them and whatnot. And so I've been watching these weather reports on like YouTube, like they're capturing these weather reports. This thing is gigantic. Have you seen the map of this thing?
Especially when they did the satellite photo.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god!
It looks like a Hollywood like how Hollywood did like the Day After Tomorrow.
It looks like that.
Oh my god! It looks exactly like that. This absolute gigantic storm that is just plowing in into the western side of Florida. I mean, just blasting through. And it's got 120-mile-an-hour winds. And they were talking about storm surges yesterday. And they said it's a storm surge of 8 feet. So what's a storm surge? It's when the hurricane picks water up and carries it and dumps it. And I'm like, that's horrific. That's a nightmare scenario. 8 feet. And one of the reports that I watched where a guy was explaining storm surge, he said, yeah, if you are on the beach and a storm surge comes, you won't survive. Like, it's so much water and so much pressure, you won't survive. Like, you got to get out of there. So I'm hoping, pray for the people of Florida as a Hurricane Ian is coming their way. I find weather fascinating, but I don't really understand much of the science to it. Like when they go high pressure, low pressure, warm water collects with the cold water. I kind of get, it's amazing that I can figure out sports sometimes, like the strategical elements of football, but yet high pressure, low pressure, forming a tornado or whatever. I can't seem to follow the science much. But I do hope, I don't care if Florida plays this weekend or Tampa and Kansas City. I don't care about that. I mostly care about the people in the state. Hopefully everybody is going to get out from this hurricane. I learned a lesson the hard way years and years ago, 2005, during Hurricane Katrina. It was like, we had a TV in the studio. We were doing the morning show in Colorado Springs. And I remember we had the TV on in the studio and we were watching it. And we were just like amazed, like the Superdome was getting ripped apart. And remember that when they were showing like the roof of the Superdome was coming apart? And we weren't laughing about it, but we were like, whoa, look at that. Wow. And then we had no idea what was coming afterwards. We were just kind of in awe of the Superdome, the roof was kind of catching with the wind. And it wasn't until days later that we kind of realized, oh my God, a day later, we realized the gravity of the situation as New Orleans was basically underwater. So I hope people who in Florida had gotten out. All right. So the NFL, if you are a 2-1 football team, you're in really good shape, right? Because, there's not a lot of 3-0 teams and you're not really, you've won two out of the first three. You've found your rhythm, whatever it may be. Maybe the schedule's a little easy. Maybe the schedule was difficult and you got through it anyway. A team like the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night went to 2-1, and they did so with Cooper Rush. And he's now won back-to-back games as Dak Prescott continues to heal up from the thumb injury. Thinks he can go in week 5, which is incredible, but nevertheless, whatever. Maybe he's a fast healer. I don't know. But the Giants are 2-1, and I don't know if they're fine. You know, like there's different degrees of this. If you're the Cleveland Browns and you're 2-1, that's great because you've got Deshaun Watson coming down the road. Even with all the controversy that's going to be surrounding him when he does come into this league and what it's going to be like when they go on the road and how much he's going to have to take it from fans when they're on the road, He is still a quarterback that is, you can look at him two ways, right? You can look at him as a Pro Bowl quarterback that hasn't played in a year and a half, completely fresh and ready to go, or a Pro Bowl quarterback that hasn't played in a year and a half. So whatever that is, the Browns are in the projection of being a really good place when Deshaun Watson comes, you know, and plays for them. But I go back to a team like the Giants. Are the Giants in a good spot at 2-1? I don't know. Sterling Shepard is out. Daniel Jones is still Daniel Jones in a lot of ways. They run the ball really well. They're in the top four of rushing offense. And Saquon Barkley is emerging as you know, one of the rushing stars of the league so far. But I don't trust enough of this analytical view of what the Giants are going to be in their first year under Brian Daboll. There was still a lot of pieces that they needed to fill. There's still a lot of things that are not going to go well for them over a 17-week period. But if you're the Cowboys, you've got to feel pretty good, because your goal, obviously, is to get back to the postseason. And when you lost Dak Prescott in week one, there was a concern that that was going to be out. You know, thumb injuries take a while to heal. That's why people were shocked when Jerry Jones thought that he would be back sooner than later, because we've seen the thumb injury being, you know, had derailing a lot of quarterbacks. But apparently it wasn't as serious as people initially thought, and he could be back. But I don't know. That's my thing with Dak Prescott. I don't know. I know that he's never, I don't think Prescott is ever going to be looked at, unless he wins a Super Bowl, I don't think he's ever going to be looked at as one of the top tier quarterbacks. There's always been a debate about him ever since he sort of emerged. There's always been about a debate about his level of talent. And it's almost fun to be on the anti-Dak Prescott side of things, right? It's almost like, well, I've done my evaluation and I don't even have him in my top 15. All right. And I've heard that from multiple people. There's a way he plays that position that's not as aesthetically pleasing to some people as like the way Aaron Rodgers plays the position or even Patrick Mahomes plays the position. But you don't have to play that way to win a Super Bowl. You don't have to be the elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl. It's just that we've sort of been, you know, spoiled with it when the last few Super Bowl champions have been Tom Brady and you know, Patrick Mahomes and whatnot. But the reality of it is you have to play well enough. You have to be careful with the football. You have to be able to move the team downfield, right? You have to be able to run the offense. And statistically, you don't have to have all the big numbers. Defensively, you've got to hold your own. And I think in the Cowboys' case, that's what Cooper Rush is doing. Cooper Rush isn't flashy. He didn't have a flashy game. But did you see the throw that he threw to a wide-open CeeDee Lamb where CeeDee Lamb dropped the ball? That was as beautiful of a throw as you'd seen all night from either quarterback. And I know Daniel Jones being on the other side isn't exactly making a strong case, but nevertheless, it was a beautiful throw. It seems to me that Cooper Rush is ready to lead this football team until Prescott arrives. But the moment Prescott is failing to do that, I wonder how quick the Cowboys may revert back to him. Right? Just because you pay a guy $40 million a year, it doesn't mean he's the best option at that particular moment. Long term, he might be the best option. Long term, that's the person you want to build the team around. But if you're Jerry Jones and you are getting to a point where you know that you don't have a lot of time to be seeing the growth of this football team as a Super Bowl champion, how much pressure are you going to put on this team to do something drastic if Prescott comes back and flounders kind of like he did in that opening game against Tampa Bay? Now, I'm not saying Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. No. But what I am saying is this. This league, you have to find the key that fits in the keyhole. Right? Fumbling around and looking at the pretty keys and the keys that are more gold-plated or the keys that have got a better design on them. That's not the way this league has always worked. The league works when you find the right key in the right spot. Now, I know there's a couple of people that have done the Bledsoe-Brady comparison. It's hard to do because we sort of we benefit from, you know, 2020 vision on this. Right? We you know, hindsight is 2020, right? We benefit from knowing the end result. That the end result was Brady emerged as one of the, you know, if not the greatest, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. The greatest to ever play the game, in my thought. There are other quarterbacks that have never had to go through that. Elway was drafted in the first round. Marino was drafted in the first round. They didn't have to find an opening and take advantage of the opening. Peyton Manning the same way. Now, that's not, no one's saying that that's what Cooper Rush is. But that is how Dak Prescott got the job. Dak Prescott was, what, a fourth-round pick out of Mississippi State? He's a backup to Tony Romo? Dallas was holding on to Tony Romo? He got hurt. Here comes Prescott, and they just don't stop winning games. And in the end, that's what happened with Bledsoe. There was just a point where the Patriots were winning so much, whether Bledsoe was part of it or not, because their defense that year was outstanding. Remember how good the Patriots' defense was. But the reality was they were winning games, and Belichick saw the hot hand. Is Cooper Rush going to be the hot hand? Or if you're Prescott, do you try to get back on that field as quickly as you can? All right, we'll talk more about that coming up. We've got the baseball to get to as well, as Aaron Judge walked four times last night. I hope this isn't a trend in the final 10 games of the season. But why last night's game was kind of important statistically, we'll tell you why. Coming up next, it's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. So Aaron Judge walked four times last night. Egads, man. That game was on TBS, too. I caught two of his at-bats. I kind of was flipping back and forth. The first time I landed on it, he was coming up to bat in the inning, and I went, oh, I'm gonna stay for this. And then I switched it over, and he was like due to bat in the inning. So I found him, and he walked both times. He got a couple of pitches. He had a big swing and missed, but other than that, they're really pitching around him. And the interesting thing was, the Blue Jays are in a pretty good spot. They're one of the three wild card teams in the American League, so they're in a pretty good spot. But the crowd was heavily, heavily in favor of watching history. They wanted to see Aaron Judge hit a home run. Maybe they were booing. They were really vocal about the walks. And I remember Barry Bonds going through this too. Remember how Barry Bonds was getting intentional walked all over the place? I mean, it was 120-something times during that record-breaking season where he hit 73 home runs. I mean, it was just insane. He was getting intentionally walked all the time. But pitchers have a lot of pride, and they don't want to be the one that gives up the home run. But I would love to see a pitcher go, no, I'm going to give him my best stuff, and he's not going to hit it out of the park. And if he does, he does. But instead of just dancing around the plate with pitches and flirting with the, you know, outside balls, Aaron Judge has got a good eye for the baseball. I mean, he doesn't swing at terrible pitches. He's been very patient. He's learned that over the last couple of years. I mean, every now and then, he's like anybody else. He goes after something he probably shouldn't. But that happens to every ball player. But the fact of the matter is, it was frustrating because, you know, I've been wanting to see 61 and eventually 62. But he's running out of time. There is a reason why, though, last night was an important game. Because, and again, this is for the stat, you know, baseball stat nerds out there. Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs in 154 games. Last night was the 154th game for Aaron Judge and for the Yankees. So people wanted him to hit the 61st home run in the 154th game because Roger Maris needed more games to get to 61. And there's always been, remember the asterisk? There is no asterisk, but there was even a movie made about it where there was an asterisk. There was 61. I think Billy Crystal produced it. And it was 61 with the asterisk. There is none. Baseball has never put one there. But people believe there is one there. It's kind of an urban legend. But people were, you know, again, who were into this sort of baseball history, were hoping that Aaron Judge had 61 by the time the Yankees had gotten to their 154th game. Well, tonight it's game 155. And so if he hits a home run, Babe Ruth still has 60 and 154, and no one has had that. You know, so, well, I think Bonds actually, it does, Bonds does, but in the American League. So that's why people were so interested in that. But as we've said many times with the Judge Chase, right? If you are a person that says, I don't care, steroids, no steroids, that's a baseball problem, it's not my problem. You know, that was something they didn't monitor. Shame on them. They should have known about it. They didn't get nipped this in the bud like they should have. And you know what? Good for Barry Bonds. He used it. They didn't have anything against it. Too bad. They never caught him. He's got 73, and that's it. Then this is irrelevant. Because who really cares these days about an American League record or a National League record? And to be honest with you, Major League Baseball, why should we care about an American League record or a National League record when you're going to blur it all together, right? I will not understand why the American League Cy Young Award and the National League Cy Young Award are going to be a thing when you've blended everything together. Because now they're creating schedules where everybody is going to play everybody, right? The NFL doesn't do an AFC MVP and an NFC MVP. The NBA doesn't do an Eastern Conference MVP and a Western Conference MVP. Eventually, the American League and the National League MVPs and the Cy Youngs are just going to be one award. Now, I don't know if they'll do that in my lifetime, but there might be a point where they will, right? Because there's going to be a blurring of the two leagues. And many of you grew up when the leagues were totally separate, completely separate, two different entities that just met for an all-star game in the World Series. Now, I think interleague play has been good for baseball. I like it. I didn't like it when it first started. I was more of a traditionalist, but I was too young to be a traditionalist. I was like in my 20s and I was being like, oh, this is a traditional. Like I was acting like I was 80. But it works. I mean, I used to cover the Rockies, and the Rockies for most of the 10 years that I lived in Colorado, most of the time, they were not very good. You know, they had the one very good year in 2007 when they went to the World Series, but most of the time they were. And I loved seeing American League teams. It was kind of cool when Boston would show up or the Yankees would show up or whoever. It was kind of neat when they would do that. But now with the two coming together, it's going to down the road, future generations are not going to understand really the difference other than AFC, NFC, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. And even then, there's still a unification of the National Football League and a unification of the NBA. Whereas in Major League Baseball, there once was two separate things now unified together. So again, if you're one of those people that looks at Barry Bonds in Major League Baseball and go, hey, I mean, I like Barry Bonds, or maybe you like Barry Bonds, but you say, you know what? Steroids is not something it was, you know, good, too bad for Major League Baseball that they have a record that is tainted like that. Too bad. It's on them. Great. But there are people who are looking at Aaron Judge and saying, you know what? This is the chase that I wanted so badly that I got in 98 that later I found out was fraudulent. And there are people that want Aaron Judge to have hit 61 home runs in 154 games. Not necessarily for an American League mark, but because there's something more pure about it given the absolute, just over-the-top testing that is now going on and the heavy, heavy suspensions. But Judge, his story is always going to be separated by those who are going to say, sort of irrelevant, to be honest with you, and those who are saying what I just said, which is, it's the home run chase I really never got. That once we started wondering what Andrew Steendione was, we never really, really got the pure chase of it. But I do know this. If pitchers are still going to pitch around this guy, he's going to struggle to get it. He's eventually going to get it. I think there's just too many games on the calendar for him to go without a home run. But watching last night, it didn't look like Toronto wanted to give it to him at all. At all. So, Aaron Judge walked four times in five at-bats in pursuit of 61.
Wake-Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. As we roll along this morning, again, looking ahead to the NFL coming up this weekend. So I was saying earlier, if you were a 2-1 team, how good, you know, you're in really good shape. But there are different degrees of that. Let's go through a couple of others, shall we?
If you will.
Okay. How about the Denver Broncos? Okay, now the Denver Broncos are 2-1, and they're tied for first place.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. The Broncos' offense is averaging 14 points per game. 14. They still haven't figured it out yet. But their defense is outstanding, only allowing 12. So, the Broncos' defense is going to keep them in some games. But, you know, eventually you got to get that thing rolling along.
But see, here's the problem I have with the Broncos being at 2-1 is that if I compare them to the Chargers at 1-2, I'm taking the Chargers.
I still take the Chargers. Although, Keyshawn Slater's out. What do you think of that?
You mean Rashad?
Rashad, see, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know about that. I don't like that. Joey Bosa's week to week.
Yep.
With the groin injury.
And I say sit Herbert this weekend. Let him heal up all the way.
Let him heal up.
I don't want it to be.
You can trust Chase Daniel, can't we? 13
against
years,
against the
I
Texans?
Think?
Yes, you can.
How many years have you been in the league? 13 or something like that?
Yeah.
God, 13 that's a long time career. That's a long time to bounce around.
See, I don't want this to be like a lingering thing week to, you know, every single week we're talking about, like, how's his ribs this week?
Right, exactly.
Just let him rest.
Just let him rest. Exactly.
Let him not get hit, because now you know he's going to get hit.
Look, the Buffalo Bills are absolutely fine. They were our number one team in top five, bottom five. The Ravens are Lamar Jackson's got, 10 touchdowns already this season? 3 games into this.
Doesn't he already have 3,000 yards passing and rushing as well?
I mean, there are two players. When we look back on the year 2022, right, when we do a year in review thing, right? There are going to be two players when you're just talking about, all right, you go, and Live Golf was doing this, and then this was doing this, and then one of the stories will be Aaron Judge and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Two guys that bet on themselves and went out and had remarkable seasons. Now, I'm still, you know, the verdict is still out on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's still early,
We don't know, but if he stays healthy and he's playing this way and he continues to play this way, which is a big if, I mean, 17 games, a lot of games, wear and tear does get to you in this league. But if he has a very, very good season, those are the two guys that we'll look back on 2022 and say, look, this is what these guys were willing to do. They were willing to not take offers. They're willing to bet on themselves to see what the market will bring. And Lamar Jackson and Aaron Judge, I know Aaron Judge is going to cash out. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But Jackson is likely to cash out, too. I mean, he's likely to win this bet on himself.
Judge is like 20 ahead of everyone in the home run race.
Oh, my God. I mean, to do that, to pull something like that off, that's incredible. I mean, it's really – of all the times I've seen a player do something like this, this is remarkable.
I mean, this is how it feels to me. It is Babe Ruth-esque.
Sure it is, yeah.
Because, you know, when Babe broke the record, I mean, yeah, he had hit 50 a couple of times before that, but most guys were hitting like 20s, 30s
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, right. And then here comes –
And that's what it feels like here is, you know, we've been talking about Aaron Judge chasing – 60 forever.
Yeah.
And why am I forgetting the guy's name? The Mets. Big home run hitter. Pete Alonso.
Just hit 40.
Just reached 40.
Yep.
And it feels like he just barely got it in, just in the nick of time. Like, he made it to the wire.
It really is. I mean, this was my rant about, I had this earlier about Shohei Ohtani. It's like, look, Aaron Judge is Babe Ruthian too. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. He equaled Babe's best mark ever in hitting home runs for a season. He had 60 at the 154 mark. So yeah, I mean, if you do something like that, then yeah, you are on the larger than life level. Now again, Judge is 30 years old. He's likely not to get to 70. As age creeps in, he's a long way away because most of Aaron Judge's 20s, he spent hurt. He did not play a lot of full seasons. He was hurt. But the reality of it is this season in particular, when he's got all the money coming to him that he deserves, he is he put up a season that is one of the most historical seasons in Major League Baseball history. And again, I don't care what his final total is. I don't care if he doesn't even break Maris's record. It's still one of the greatest home run seasons of all time. And especially, again, as I was saying earlier, if you're one of those people that looks at sort of the steroid guys and dismisses that a little bit. And there are people who do that. Again, baseball hasn't done that, but there are people who just mentally have done that. And that's an incredible, amazing way to bet on yourself. And Lamar Jackson is doing that as well. I mean, he accounted for 5 touchdowns against the Patriots in that win. And right now, again, 10 touchdown passes. He's run for 2. He's accounted for 12 this season. They are the highest scoring team in the NFL right now. So, yeah, good for Lamar Jackson. He has already had an MVP, and he's playing better than that right now. Now, again, the caveat is always it's early. We'll see. Down the road, you never know, right? You have no idea what this crazy sport will do. Speaking of this crazy sport, did you see the numbers for the Sunday game between the Buccaneers and the Buccaneers and the Packers on Fox? 26 million viewers.
Whew.
For a late afternoon game of the week on Fox. This is not a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. This was the Packers and the Buccaneers. Why am I? I'm following this hurricane. I'm sorry. I got this hurricane thing, and I'm watching. I got to turn it off. It's too distracting. This thing is gigantic, unbelievable. This hurricane. But the Buccaneers and the Packers. 26 million people. Why? Listen, we know the NFL is popular. We get it. Like there's no one denies that. But that's a ton of people for a late afternoon game that some of the country didn't get. Like, it's not a unified football game. Like, the Broncos 49ers Sunday night, that's a unified football. It's the only thing on. Monday night between the Cowboys and the Giants, that's a unified game. It's the only thing that's on. Thursday night, Steelers-Browns, that's the only thing that's on. But there are other games going on in other markets, and people were getting those games rather than this game, and yet this game threw 26 million people.
I feel like those guys are just in it for, like, the NFL's keeping it around for the entertainment value. Just to keep the numbers up. Because why would the Packers-Buccaneers game be interesting?
Well,
if it's not for those two guys.
If it wasn't for those two guys, yeah, exactly. Well, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they're not getting 26 million if it's Kyle Trask and Jordan Love.
Right.
Right? They're not doing that. Right? But yeah, it wasn't even a good Brady Rogers. It wasn't even a good game. But you know what? I'll tell you a funny thing. Ratings for the NFL have always been good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it went from poverty to this this boom because of this one issue. But I remember when I was living in Las Vegas, and one of the reasons that I had a hard time early in my career of being in Las Vegas in sports talk radio is the gambling aspect of it was great for Vegas, but I wanted to talk more theoretical things about sports and rather than the numbers and the line and the movement of the line and things like that. But I remember I talked to a lot of guys that were into that, and they always said if gambling was legal, this sport would exponentially increase. And this was the late 90s. But television numbers have always been there. But I do wonder fantasy football, now more gambling that is going on. If this thing is just going to skyrocket, 26 million people to watch Brady versus Rodgers again on a non-exclusive time slot, that's an incredible number. That's the most watched thing on television this week. That's an incredible number. And if you're the NFL, this is why you can get away with doing anything you want in terms of your deals. When people say, like, why are they on Amazon? Because people will get Amazon to get this stuff. I'm not kidding. Like you may not be the biggest NBA fan, let's say, right? Maybe you're just a casual NBA fan. It's on TNT. You like the guys, Ernie and Shaq and those guys. And you like in Charles. And you watch it. Maybe Milwaukee, Boston is interesting to you in January. Or maybe the Lakers playing the Phoenix Suns is interesting to you in January. But you're not a big NBA guy. They stick this on Apple TV. You might go, well, I don't want to get Apple TV. I don't like it that much. But the NFL, put it on Amazon. You can put it on Apple TV. You can put it on your own streaming service. You can do it any. You can put it anywhere, and they will just go, you know what? I'll take it. I'll buy it and I'll take it. I'll consume it. And the and here's the thing. Do you remember years ago when NBC was it NBC? Which one? No. NBC lost football. Do you remember when NBC lost football? So it was Fox got the NFC rights from CBS, and then CBS ended up getting the AFC rights, and NBC was without football. NBC panicked because they didn't have it. And that's why they ended up creating the Sunday night football game. Because, you know, I grew up with Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen on NBC and Pat Summerall and John Madden on CBS. And then Fox got in the game. And then CBS got back in the game, and then NBC was left without a game. And they basically went to the NFL and said, what will it take to get a Sunday night game that we can broadcast? And that's the way this league is now. It's incredible. Everybody has to have this in order to survive. You have to have live sports in some way, shape, or form. Network television isn't cutting it anymore. Now, your goal is to create network programming that you can stream on your own service that people will pay $6, $7, $8 a month for. But live sports keeps the audience together. It keeps it intact. It allows the best sort of vehicle for advertisers. And if you're a network and you don't have the NFL, you're dead. That's why they have to have it. And so this league is just like Jerry Jones said something what was it, yesterday or the day before? He said, I wouldn't sell the Cowboys for $10 billion. I wouldn't either. I would never, ever sell the Cowboys.
Not when it's printing money.
I would put it in my will that none of my descendants could ever sell the Cowboys. And of course, my great-grandchild will probably take it to court.
He'll find the loophole.
He'll find a loophole. He'll probably be like, great-grandpa, he was crazy. He was, you know, this thing is now worth $50 billion and we're going to sell it.
Yeah.
But I would never sell it.
He capped it at 10.
And it even goes beyond the thing we talk about being in the elite club, having something so unique. You know, it's literally owning a unicorn in the world. Of all the billionaires, this is the one thing that other billionaires can't have. Right? If you own the Dallas Cowboys, you want to talk about a game of, you know, one up, you up, right? Billionaires can own islands. They can own cruise ships. They can own the biggest jet. They can own whatever.
Castles. They can send rockets into space and go up there themselves.
They can do whatever they want. But the one thing that they can't have is the Dallas Cowboys. They can't have it. They can't have it. No matter how much money they have, they can't get it. They can't get that star. Jones knows that. His family knows that. He's like, I wouldn't sell it for $10 billion. I don't care what Forbes is valuing the team at. If I had to sell the Cowboys, I'd sell it for $20 billion. The future revenue for this thing for generations
is
astronomical. What are the Cowboys? If this continues, what are the Cowboys going to be worth 30 years from now? What is it? $6 billion now? $5 billion now? What's it going to be 30 years from now?
Honestly, would you just go like
$10 billion.
If Jeff Bezos came up to you or Elon Musk came up to you and said, hey, how much would it be worth? It's like, well, how much you got?
Yeah.
You know, that's how much it's worth.
I love you. I wouldn't sell it for $10 billion. $10 billion? You should have said $50 billion. Like, seriously. Give us a number even more. You're almost there at $10 billion down the road. This thing is a machine. All right. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, I have to admit, I tried to do two things at once. I'm trying to follow this hurricane and see where it's heading. Again, my in-laws and my brother-in-law live in St. Pete, so I'm kind of watching it. And so I had to turn it off. It's too distracting. That thing is purple in the middle. That's
scary
not good.
Looking.
It is so scary looking. Like I was just telling you during the break, you know, they've got these colors. And it's like green, that's good. Yellow, all right.
Some heavy
orange,
rain.
Yeah, all right. Like that's bad, but not bad. Red, hey, that's kind of dangerous. Dark red, hey, be careful. And then they just went, what's another ominous color? Like, what's the most ominous reddish type of color that we can have that's not burgundy? And they went purple. And, like, just make it purple. And there's just this gigantic purple dot that is blasting its way up to Florida.
Heading right for Fort Myers.
Heading right for Fort Myers. It's this, I mean, I can't stop watching it. I had to turn it off because I was like, I'm bumbling over my words. I'm forgetting what teams played in a game. I can't stop following this. So I just basically go, I can't. I pride myself on being a multitasker, Ron. And I couldn't concentrate. That thing is
well,
incredible.
It's fascinating. I mean, this is the very definition of the word awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome doesn't always have to be good. I mean, this storm is...
It just has to be filled with awe.
Yeah.
And this is filled with... This is awe. Oh my God.
I can't even... I think what it is, you can't fathom it.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember I told you I just watched The Perfect Storm with George Clooney?
Yep.
And remember that? Like, the waves... I know it's Hollywood, but I can't imagine what that boat went through when those three things collided in the middle of the ocean. There's a little boat out there trying to do 30-foot waves, 50-foot waves, whatever it was.
100-foot.
Yeah, just food. Like, we're not going to make it. And then the boat tips over. They sort of thought what happened to that little boat. You know, they don't know for sure, but that's it. Yeah, this looks pretty bad. So be safe out there, Florida.